Would you open your Bible with me, please? Join me in your Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1. Open up your phone, your tablet, your printed word. If you have your phone with you, let me encourage you to silence it. Almost every week we have someone who is embarrassed because they forgot to silence their phone. We are in a series, the month of January, kind of setting the stage for the year, this idea of renewal. And our theme verse for the year, our theme verse for the series is Isaiah chapter 61, the verse 4, the second half of verse 3 and verse 4. And we talked about this last week a little bit more at length, this moment that Isaiah reflects, the Spirit leads him to record, to share this promise that the Messiah would come. And the Messiah would do specific things. And he would be sent by the Father, and he would be empowered by the Spirit of God. We saw that in Isaiah. You see that in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And then he describes the result of that, these pillars, these trees, these oak trees, or these trees of righteousness that are planted. Do you remember if you were here last week? By the way, it's always a good idea to go listen to the message again during the week. You know you can do that, right? It's always a good idea because if you're like me, and statistics back this up, by Tuesday morning, do you remember what it is? It's like 12% or something. It's really crazy. All of those who speak are very much aware of these statistics, that almost everything that we say is forgotten by Tuesday morning. But the prayer, the hope, is that what God speaks to you in these moments, we don't forget. And if you need a little encouragement, go back, go to Facebook, go to YouTube, and watch the message again. It's also a good idea to take some kind of notes. Right, Cindy? And there's notes, right? There's, when you come in, there's papers there in the back that you can take notes on. And then you can watch the video during the week, and you can look at your notes, and you can walk through it together. Am I talking foolishness? Some of you are looking at me like I'm talking foolishness. It's always good to give God space to remind us of what he is doing in our lives and what he's speaking to us about. It's always a good idea to spend time in God's word. And so Isaiah chapter 61, these verses, it brings us to chapter or verse 3 in the oaks of righteousness, and they'll be planted specifically for a purpose. They're planted by God, and they're planted to reveal his glory, his splendor, some translations say. So to step back from that, here's what Isaiah is saying, and many other authors through the Holy Spirit say the same thing. If I have put my faith in Jesus Christ, if I have confessed with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that the Father raised him from the dead, I am a child of God. I am in his family. I've been adopted. I've been transferred. All those pictures, the new creation. And I now have a purpose, a very specific God-given purpose. I am to be planted. My life is to have deep roots. My life is to be planted. My life is, how I live my life shouldn't be blown back and forth by every wind of teaching, every new thing. What's everybody talking about this morning? You know what all the young people are talking about? Anybody know? Yeah, TikTok doesn't work, right? It's all messed up because the U.S. Supreme Court made a decision, and now my life is over. You know, what are we going to do? How many remember MySpace? Anybody? Yeah, then Facebook, and it goes on and on and on, right? And that's just a silly thing, but it's very possible for a child of God to be living their lives in the world so much that we're just what happens in the world around us. And it's not that we're to be insensitive. The fires in Southern California are devastating. Are they not? And it's not that we go, whatever. No. But do we throw hope to the wind when that happens? Do we throw hope to the wind when TikTok doesn't work? Or when there's an election, a new administration, or whatever it might be? I have a purpose, and as a child of God, you have a purpose to live your life in such a way that in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the craziness that we have all around us, that we are rooted deep in Jesus Christ, and we're unmovable. And when we do that together as a grove of trees, which is what we are, This grove of trees firmly planted by God in 2025 in Northern California, in our neighborhoods, in our job places, in our schools, in this corner of this intersection. We serve a purpose. And that purpose is to reveal the splendor of God, the glory of God, the goodness of God. And friends, it's this practical. When you walked in this morning and the time we've spent together and as we worshiped and we sang, all the things that we've done so far, how did we interact with each other? Did we interact with each other based on the fears and the anxieties and the anger and the frustrations and all the things that this world throws at us, and we just brought that in, and so we walked by people? We didn't speak grace and truth into each other's lives. We didn't genuinely smile. Because it's that practical, that we have a purpose, I have a purpose, and that purpose should be very clearly lived out in the walkthrough this morning. You see us meeting up here before the service, and we walk through what's happening, and we pray, make sure everybody knows what their job is. I know you can't tell once the service starts that we do that, but we really do. And we pray together, and there's interaction. It should be seen there. The glory of God, the splendor of who God is and what he's doing should be seen in that interaction. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
When you're sitting together at the table, lunch table together today, should the splendor of God be seen there? Yes. My eyes just fell on a mom. Mornings, getting ready for school and all that kind of stuff and all the craziness that's in that moment, should the splendor of God be seen there? If moms and dads and kids are followers of Jesus, should they not be living in such a way in those kinds of moments that they're firmly planted in the truth and their relationships, interaction with each other should be a display of God's splendor? That's the purpose of Crossroads Church. That's our mission, is to be firmly rooted and planted in God's truth. This is not even in my notes, but it's on my heart that Isaiah paints this picture of what God is trying to do today. And the result of that in chapter 4 is there will be rebuilding, restoring, and renewing. You read that whole verse. We love those words, right? I do. What about devastation? When I was looking at the pictures and the videos of Southern California, that's the word that came to my mind, was devastation. And our politicians have already come out and said, boy, we really got to get our, you know, hands dirty, and we got to cut the red tape. And why? Because we need to rebuild. We need to restore what has been devastated by the fires. And I'll say this, community relationships need to be renewed. A sense of community, a sense of safety, a sense of care for each other needs to be renewed. And God promises that that's what will happen when the Messiah does his work and we receive that work, what he's done for us. We sang about it this morning, the cross. Thank God for the cross and what he's done for us. And then we take that and into our lives and we allow him to firmly plant us where he chooses to firmly plant us. Sorry, my mind was going somewhere else. I was trying to decide if I should say this, but I'm going to say it. I'm saying it from my own perspective. We don't get to choose our family. Love you, Mom and Dad. I got to choose my wife. I didn't get to choose my kids. I don't get to choose my grandkids, my aunts, my uncles, my parents. Who put me in that family? God did. That's right. That's right. He planted me there in that family. He planted you here in this family and in our families and all those places I mentioned before so that we would be a splendor, a display of his glory. If that's going to happen in 2025, we need God to do a work of renewal. Go back to the first Sunday in January. This is where we lived, living intentionally in the new year. Never forget who you were before the draft. Anybody watch football yesterday? No? Seriously? Okay, I got a few nods. All right. I enjoy football. I loved watching. I lamented the Niners, Packers, Jets. There's a few others here. Jefferson, the Cowboys. Boy, the Cowboys, There's a smell in Texas that they don't know what it is. Watching football and all these games, and I love watching football for the there were some amazing catches yesterday, some amazing receptions. But I love watching football too from the angle that it really speaks to me about a group of people that have a shared mission. And now that we're in the playoffs, it's ramped up. You got one mission. You got to win the game, because if you lose the game, you're going home. You're done. And I watched the coach yesterday of the Lions. They were showing the Lions. They've never been to the Super Bowl. I think the Commanders haven't been for 30. I'm looking at Master Pat because he's a football expert. He knows a lot about football, and so does this guy. 34 years, see? 34 years. And they're moving forward. They're moving on. The Commanders are moving on. But they're showing the coach, the Lions, and this. I started to feel really, really bad. I wanted to cry as a man. I wanted to cry because it's just like, we failed. We failed. And when we looked at living intentionally, I look at football and the season, and now that you're in the playoffs, everybody better be living, everybody better be doing their part intentionally. Never forget who I was before I got drafted and put on this team. It's important you remember the name back here, but isn't it more important that you remember the name right here? Right, the name here on the side? Always live for, always give to the game plan. What's the game plan? The game plan is the mission. It's the mission that God, who's given us the game plan? God has given us the game plan. This idea of being trees planted for His splendor. Never take your eyes off the ball. Never get distracted by what's happening around you. And in football, there's this moment that is very intriguing to me. It's funny sometimes. If it's fourth down and short and you need a first down, sometimes teams will all line up, the offense will line up, and they have no intention of actually running a play. But you know what they're trying to do, right? They're trying to draw the other team offsides, right? And if they get offsides, offense gets a first down, and so they do things, and they can't move, but the guy in motion and the quarterback's doing everything he can. He's trying to use his voice to make it sound like he's actually going to snap the ball, have the center snap the ball. And these highly paid, multi-million-dollar contracted players, every once in a while, jumps offsides, and he's drawn offsides. Is there somebody that's trying to draw you and me offsides? Yeah, there is. Never take your eyes off the ball. Don't listen to the voice of that enemy quarterback. Keep your eyes on the ball and don't move until the ball moves. Always trust the coach. We looked at that first Sunday in January. Who's our coach? The Holy Spirit is our coach, right? Here's the game plan. He's given us the game plan. Who helps me understand the game plan and know where I fit into it? The Holy Spirit. And He's telling me how to live. He's helping me. He's equipping me. And then last week, we looked at living generously. How do we move others to the front? Remember Abraham and Lot? We need to give of our time, talent, treasure. We need to sacrifice what we have without prejudice, without prejudging whether or not somebody is deserving. Some of you did this morning. I've done it. You come into a gathering like this and you see somebody and the Spirit of God prompts you to give them an encouraging word, to give them a moment, to show them genuine love. And because there's something between you and them, there's something they've done or not done, or you just don't like them, or maybe you don't know them, you make a decision that they're not worthy of me giving that moment. Are you tracking with me? We do this. And generosity is willing to sacrifice, to give without prejudice. We worship. If we're generous people, we worship with our giving. We worship in our giving. We're going to talk about the generosity report later, and some of you are going to hear that and go, ugh, and you're going to receive it as a thing of numbers, and I'm supposed to give, and I didn't, and and you're going to process it. And I love you, but we just do this. You're going to process that moment through the flesh and your circumstances instead of hearing an encouragement, a challenge that is saying, worship God with your money. Can we do that? No, we can we not? Every choice we make, every time I go through Starbucks and I choose to pay $5.25, I think it is, for a tea latte, I better be stopping and thinking, is this what God wants me to do with my $5? All right, I stand convicted. I put it out there. I gave to the church, so that $5 is mine, right? I gave Becky and I, we gave generously. We gave this month. What's left over is now mine to do with what I want. We won't think that way if we see giving, whether it's our time, talent, or treasure, as worship. If you write a check, you go online, you do an automatic, whatever, however form you do, you give, do it to worship God. Do it to reveal His splendor. Are you with me? You still glad you came? Good. Learn generously from God's love for you. We looked at Abraham's relationship with God, with Yahweh, and the covenant that he made. Where do we learn what generosity is? We learn it from right there. You see what I'm pointing at? I'm not pointing at the ladder. I'll point at the ladder later. No, I'm pointing at the cross. That's where we discover what generosity really is. For God so loved the world that he gave. All right, listen a little quicker. Let's talk about living consistently in 2025. And I want to start with Acts chapter 1. We'll get to 2 Peter 1 in just a minute. But Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I love these words. I know you do too. Jesus is speaking. He's about ready to leave this earth. And so he says this to his disciples. Hold on. There's something you really need to understand. You will receive power. You'll have everything that that Jesus and his disciples have experienced over the last 3 years and the conversation. Remember John 13, the washing of the feet, and then 14, 15, 16, this long conversation that Jesus has with his disciples. All those things that we talked about. A little bit overwhelmed? Yeah. If I'm one of those disciples, yeah. Yeah. That's a lot, Jesus. You're going to have the power to do that when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then, after that happens, you will be my witnesses. And you will be telling people. I took this from the New Living Translation. I love how it translates it. Telling people about me everywhere. Telling people about Jesus everywhere you go. Now, I want you to start in Jerusalem. That's where it's going to start. And then eventually it's going to move throughout Judea. Remember Stephen? Remember what happened to Stephen? The book of Acts, you haven't read it lately, read it again. And so then they start spreading out and they go into Judea and eventually they go to, remember Peter and Cornelius and the vision. Remember Paul on the road to Damascus and it begins to happen and into Samaria and then to the ends of the earth. Friends, we live where? No, according to this verse, where do we live? Thank you. The ends, we don't live in Jerusalem and we don't live in Judea. Nope. And we don't live in Samaria. We live in the ends of the earth. Now pause with me. Amen's good because you and I know about Jesus living in the ends of the earth because somebody told somebody about Jesus. You with me still? Literally. We're here today in 2025 because from that first century AD to today, people have been going and telling people about Jesus. We are not here of our own accord. You with me? I'm not. I'm the recipient of people that obeyed this command. This. Let me share this quote. Christopher Wright, he says, mission is not something that happens when you go elsewhere. It is going to happen. Emily now and Ash Lynn and our team and I forgot somebody. Alexi, you know, you go do mission. You do, right? You did that. But it doesn't happen once you go there. It starts in your own home. It starts in your own neighborhood. That is where you and I are called to be holy. That is where you and I are called to be oaks of righteousness, to living righteous, godly lives planted firmly with those around us. That's our mission. That's the game plan. Are we all moving in the same direction? Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to read a couple of verses that are on the screen. The screen will pick it up in verse 3. The context, this is Peter's second letter, and I want to encourage you as we move through the rest of our time together, everything that we read, keep in mind who's writing it through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's Peter, and I want you to reflect as God prompts you on his journey with Jesus and how that might impact how you hear and receive what Peter is telling us through the Spirit of God. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith equal to ours through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. He's introduced himself, he's identified the target, and here's how he starts. Grace and peace. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. May you experience in your life today grace and peace growing out of what you know about who God is and what you know about who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for you. He says, I pray that grace and peace would just flood your thinking and your lives, your existence, as you have a clear picture of who God is, who sent the Son, and who the Son is, who came and died for you. His divine power. Now Peter is going to expand on that knowledge. He's going to help his reader. He's going to help us understand what knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ should be filling our hearts and our minds. His divine power has given us what? Everything. In the Greek, that word means everything. Good job. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness. A life of godliness. If Isaiah was writing this, he would say, God has given us everything we need to be oaks of righteousness. But hold on. Those people were living in a terrible time when Israel was a mess, and they'd been exiled, and government was unstable, and the economy was all messed up, and the healthcare system didn't work, and oh, everything. There were fires, and there were... Oh. Was life easy and simple in Peter's day in that first century under the rule of Rome? No. And yet he has given us, for our moment, our setting, this grove of trees, we have everything we need to live life in a godly way, to reflect the godliness of God. And how do we do that? It's through the knowledge of him. It's through what he's revealed to us about him. The knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. And that word is the Greek word glory is the parallels the Hebrew word splendor in Isaiah. Because of God's glory, because of who he is, what he's doing, because of his goodness, we can live this kind of life. And then verse 4, by these, referring to God's glory and to God's goodness, through his glory and goodness, he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them, you, us, Peter is writing to his audience, the Spirit is speaking to us this morning. I pray that he is speaking to you, that when you see the word you, you take it personal, so that through them, you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desire. Peter is painting a picture that the circumstances, the details may change. Who's in the White House might change. What kind of government we live under might change. There's people around the world in different settings, right? They were under a dictator, an emperor. Their lives were worthless. They could be snuffed out with a command. The details, the specifics, the human level varies and changes, but something divinely does not change. And do you see it? The world that we're in is a mess. And why is it a mess? Because of evil desire, because of the flesh, the sinful nature of men and women and teenagers and even kids. Guys, we're messed up. I know it's not a politically correct thing to talk about public, but we're messed up. We're broken. There's this voice in me that wants to do everything selfish. There's a voice in me that wants me to be the opposite of intentional and generous and consistent. There's a voice in me that wants me, I just want to do what I want to do. And if you get hurt, I'm sorry, too bad. Because I want to do what makes me happy, what satisfies me. Are you with me? Can we own that? It was that way in Isaiah's day. It's the truth in Peter's day. It's the truth in our day. But God has given us very great and precious promises so that through them you may share in the divine nature. And boy, we could go here. We have a promise that God will never leave us or forsake us when the Spirit of God moves in. And he will convict, he will correct. Jesus said in John at the end there in 14:15 that he will lead you and teach you and provide everything you need. We're promised in Philippians that the one who began a good work in you will not stop. He'll complete it. He'll keep doing it. The potter, the clay. Are you telling me, Peter, are you telling me that I can become less and less like me and more like Jesus? And Peter says, amen. Yes, it's exactly what I'm saying. That it's possible. The power of the Spirit, because of God's promises, because of what he's given us, what he's revealed, that as we live our lives, these trees planted, that day after day after day, month after month, year after year, we can look less like the flesh, less like the works of the flesh, and more like the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, everywhere you see this principle in the Word of God, it's not a wish, it's not a dream, it's an expectation. Many places it's a command. Are you with me still? It's not a hopeful thing. Well, this could possibly happen. No. No. God forgive us for diminishing the power of the Spirit of God and the truth of His Word and the power that they have to transform us. Whether it's discouragement or distraction or denial, as Christians, we get into this season where we don't really believe this can happen. And if Peter were here today, I put up there a phrase that I grappled with this, and I thought, what would Peter, a fisherman, kind of a rough dude, what would he say? I think he would say, Crossroads Church, no more excuses. Stop making excuses. Stop blaming your marriage. Stop blaming your bank account. Stop blaming your boss and your job. Stop blaming the government. Stop blaming what's happening in California. Stop blaming the schools. Stop blaming all the evil desire that rules this world and blaming that or saying, that's why I'm not growing. That's why I'm not maturing. That's why I'm not becoming more like. If you knew my wife, I'm telling you. If you knew my kids, if you knew my puppy, in my case. Are you with me? Yes. I think that's what Peter is saying. He's saying with grace and peace, but he's saying to the church, he's saying to us today that are followers of Jesus, no more excuses. The expectation is the reality is that you have everything you need. Do you see it? I'm not making this up, right? I didn't write this. You have everything that's necessary to live a life of godliness. So no more excuses. He goes on, for this reason, I want you to make every effort to supplement your faith. The faith is the body of knowledge, the things that we know about God. And I know this is going to block the screen a little bit, but it's okay. And then he makes this list of things there. I want you to make every effort. Now, I'm banned from ladders, so I'm going to need a couch tonight, but taking the next step is acknowledging, here's the foundation. It's our faith. Amen? It's our faith. I know who Jesus is. I know what he's done. I confess him with my mouth. I believe in my heart that the Father raised him from the dead. That my faith stands on that truth of who God is. And he adopted me into my family. That's good enough, right? That's kind of how we think, right? I mean, it's good enough to get us saved. This is not about getting us right with God, right? Because we're standing on the foundation of our faith. That's what adopts us into his family. But friends, Peter is saying it's not good enough. It's not good enough just to go around and say, I'm a Christian, yeah, I believe in God, and I read my Bible, and he paints this picture of things that, you know, we've got to, okay. Presley, would you come here, please? Don't tell your mom, okay? So go just stand on the floor there. Presley is standing. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? You believe he died on the cross for you? He's your Savior? He's standing on his faith. But Peter says, Presley, in 2025, at your school and in your neighborhood and friends, that's not good enough. You need to take the next step. And so I want you to step up on that ladder. I want you to add to your faith goodness. What is goodness? Goodness, I'm going to make these kind of concise. It's moral excellence. It's purity. It's modesty. It's all the things that we've forgotten about. Can I say it that way? It's all the things that are good, all the things that reflect God. It's really all the things that we don't like. Because God says, I want you to be pure. I want you to say no. I want you to be modest. I want you to think, I mean, all these good things. And so, Presley, that took some effort. And I want you to climb to the next step. So that I want you to add knowledge. There's a piece of paper on your chairs. I hope everybody gets one that wants one. There's some verses there connected to these. Peter's saying, you gotta build your knowledge. Friends, we need to be in church. You don't need to be in church to hear me. You need to be in church to hear God. You need to be here with your Bible. If you don't have it on your phone, get it on your phone. If you don't want it on your phone, get up. There's ones in the back. You can take it. If you use it, it's yours. And you and I need to spend time every week building our knowledge. And it's the common word for knowledge. It's just greater understanding of the truth, that foundation of faith. I wrote down for me this note, everything that I do to know Jesus better. Can we grab a hold of that? I should be intentional, generous, and I should be consistent in all these things, including knowledge. Okay, so Presley, make some effort to step up to self-control. This is a big step. Good job. Hang on with two hands, please, for my sake. Self-control is being intentional and consistent in everything. Thoughts, words, actions. We do not get a break from self-control. I'm just going to watch this one TV show. It's a little, you know, off color, but hey, then I'll read my Bible afterwards. This particular moment, I don't usually use these words, but this moment calls for these words. We don't get a vacation from self-control. Self-control is being intentional, our thoughts, our words, our choices, our actions. It's mastering your flesh, not being mastered by it. And then, Presley, take another step. You okay? This is endurance. You okay standing up there? We know what endurance is, right? No? Almost everybody in this room, at least everybody that I know, and I know you by name and I know parts of your life, you've had to endure. It's not kind of be a little quiet. We have to endure, do we not? Your timeline always matches God's? Not in my world. I want to be done yesterday. And he says, no, we got another. Never losing sight of God's goodness and faithfulness. All right, you got strength left? You nervous? I didn't check all the connections on that ladder, so just be ready. Godliness. Is he still up there? Yeah. Godliness. Peter says, add to your endurance godliness. And godliness, we don't use this word a lot. Some, if you're in Trace Deus, you remember this word, but it's piety. It's your whole life directed at God. It's everything about me is worshiping. I'm worshiping when I'm singing this morning. I'm worshiping when I give. I'm worshiping when I'm riding home with my wife and I'm upset with her and we're disagreeing. Anybody? Don't leave me up here all by myself.
Yes.
You're going to leave me. It's worshiping God. It's having our eyes fixed on Him in all aspects of our life. All right. You still love me? Okay. Take another step. Good? Okay. Brotherly affection, brotherly kindness. Friends, this is love for family. I mentioned family earlier for this reason. It's hard to love family. Come on. On some days, in some moments. Is it hard to love each other? Is it? It is. And Peter says, as you're building on your faith, these things that you're adding intentionally, consistently, you're going to, as you come up, and there, I do believe that there's an intentionality to his order. As you're coming up, it's getting harder. Getting harder. All aspects of my life, piety, being Christ-like everywhere I go, everything I say, every relationship. And now you're asking me to love the people in my family and in my church family. Do you know my family? Do you know my church family? Do you know what people have done? Do you know what people have done to me? Do you know what I've done to other people? And Peter says, I denied Jesus 3 times. Part of my family, Jesus. A girl freaked me out when she said I was one of his disciples. And I said, I didn't even know him. Peter's writing from that experience. Add to your faith brotherly kindness or affection. And then the peak. You got one more? Go ahead. You want to do another one for fun? No. No, stay right there. You see the pinnacle? What's the pinnacle? It's love. This one is based on the word phileo, friendship, family, love. This one in the Greek is agape, and it speaks of that love right there. Are you looking where I'm pointing? Don't look at me. That's the love that Peter says, add to your faith. Can we give him a hand? Thank you, Presley. Come down, please. Come down carefully. Still isn't. So, Peter says, church, no more excuses. And then Peter says, I want you to take your next step. You and I, and there's the papers on your pew has all these qualities, and then there's a verse next to each one of them, and there's days. I would encourage you on Monday to read about goodness. And on Tuesday, read about knowledge and do some self-assessment. Where am I at on this ladder? And for many of us, we're gonna, as he'll say in a minute, we're gonna confirm our calling and our faith in Jesus Christ. But man, I gotta get busy working with the Spirit of God to see these things developed in my life. If we're gonna be trees of righteousness planted together for the splendor of God. And finally, if you possess these qualities, verse 8, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, do you understand that phrase? They're growing in us. They may start out as a seed. Your faith may have started as a seed. Anybody? And then it grew, and over time, it produced fruit, the fruit of repentance. And we confess Jesus, and we believe in our heart. If you possess these qualities, if they are increasing, if you are taking the next step, wherever you're at, you're done with excuses, and now you're just going to work with the Spirit of God to consistently, intentionally work on these things and invite God to grow them in you. And as that happens, this is what the result will be. They will keep you from being useless or unfruitful. Useless is really the word barren, unable to produce fruit. Unfruitful is the idea that you really are not committed, you're not all in, you're not willing to produce fruit. And Peter says, either way, if you are investing in these things and the Spirit of God is producing these things in you, they will protect you, they will prevent you from being barren, useless, or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. My time is gone, but I feel compelled. I got to say this. There's some of us in this room, some maybe even listening, that have a lot of knowledge about God, but it's not producing fruit in our lives. Can I say that in grace and love to us? And I say it to myself too. Paul's very clear in 1 Corinthians 13. I can know everything, but if it's not love, there's not love. It's not rooted in love. It's meaningless. And some of us are somewhere on this ladder, or maybe standing on the floor and saying, man, I know a lot about God, but it's not producing this fruit. And Peter says, the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ should change you. It should transform you every day. You should be different than you were yesterday based on what you know to be true about Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done. And if I'm not different next week, I better figure out where I'm at and what I'm not doing so that I'm being unfruitful. The person who lacks these things is blind. There's a spiritual blindness, and some of you might even be thinking this right now. This is not for me. I'm good enough. I put my faith in Jesus. I go to church. I have religious things in my life, and that's going to be good enough. And Peter, through the Holy Spirit, God says, it's not. It's not good enough. I intend for you to be fruitful for me. And if we don't realize that, we don't embrace that, Peter says we're blind, we're short-sighted, and we have forgotten the cleansing from our past sins. That's tough, guys. Do you hear what he's saying? We've forgotten what our sin, we've forgotten how sinful we really are. We've forgotten how much I'm desperately needing the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because I'm pretty good after all, you know, now. Huh? He says, no, you've forgotten. So, brothers and sisters, make every effort, same phrases we saw before, adding these things, to confirm your calling and election. Because if you do these things, you will never stumble. And the word that Peter uses doesn't mean that we're not going to trip. You've seen me trip. It has this idea that when you fall, you're going to get back up. You're going to repent. You're going to confess. You're going to ask for help. You're going to go to the prayer teams on the side. You're going to get back up. And humbly, you're going to say, God, I got to get back on the ladder. You know, if I fell off that top part of the ladder, would that be kind of scary? If I fall off here, okay, all right. The more God works in me, the more He shapes me to be like Jesus, the more, you tracking with me? And He says, you might be up here and you fall, you're not going to stay down broken. You're going to get back up because I'm going to lift you back up and we're going to get back on living consistently. You guys have listened really well this morning. I want to close with this thought, and then we're going to watch a video. This is our Isaiah chapter 61, 3 to 4. We talked about it earlier. We're going to do Bible memory this year. Yeah, that's what I expected. What? Bible memory? That's for kids, right? No, it's not. And you're going to get, at our family meeting next week, you'll get a list of all the verses for the year. This is our verse for January. What is today? The 19th? Okay, you got about 10 days, 11 days, so get busy. You're not laughing, so you're taking me seriously, right? We're going to hide God's word in our hearts so that we will not get off track and sin against Him. And I want to encourage you to join with whoever will join. And as we move through the rest of January, we'll have time to catch up because it's late in the month. But these two verses, this idea of God planting oaks of righteousness, trees of righteousness, in such a way that we would reveal His splendor. And when He does that, then He will use us to rebuild and restore and renew. Two of us are excited. All right. Let me pray. And then let's watch this together. Father, it is Your glory that we live for. Forgive us for getting off track, forgetting the mission and going our own way, even as Your children. Bring us back, renew, restore, rebuild in us what needs to be given attention to so that we would bring You glory in all that we do and say and in every relationship that we have. We love You and we give You praise for all that You are. In the name of Your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's watch this.